Greetings to the automatically deleted husband, and as I anticipated and perhaps self-inflicted, it was emotionally a difficult day, you know, because, and to add to that, a return card from my wife. Happy birthday, for better or worse, richer or poorer, sickness or health, till death do us part. I love you, I love you, I love you, your man. Obviously, I believe this, she doesn't. And of course, I have to consider the issue that I mentioned yesterday in reference to 1 Corinthians 13, because obviously she's showing no love to me. But how am I supposed to show love to her? That's still a question in my mind. I did some bunch of work anyway. But one of the things that keeps running through my mind is my kids and the distortion that they are living in. You know, I just took a couple of... I see the U.S. falling from its... as the world hegemon. You know, that's... We took the number one spot in 1991 with the fall of the Soviet Union. There was, you know, kind of a bipolar thing right at that point. Even though we had the economic advantage already, but they were a very strong military power, but they collapsed because communism doesn't work. That's why we're implementing it. I mean, because the U.S. basically, you know, is virtually as communist as the Soviet Union was. We just use a different flavor and different terms. But anyway. But you know, there was, when I was a young guy, the relationship between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia solidified, well, had for some time. You know, we did a lot of things in order to capture the world oil market. You know, one of the big competitors was Iran. So we overthrew him. And that was 1953. Installed the Shah and whatnot. And then there was the big thing was the relationship with Saudi Arabia and what became the petrodollar. But that's collapsing big time. And I really wonder, one of the things I found so interesting, it was yesterday when, you know, however many months ago, President Biden showed up in Saudi Arabia, and when he had this big, huge entourage of cars to show up at whatever palace it was, and met MBS, the crown prince, you know, Mohammed bin Salman, and they did what became often talked about, the fist bump at their greeting. Xi Jinping showed up at Saudi Arabia yesterday. You know, to celebrate my wife's birthday. King Salman met him at the airport. You know, you hardly see him anymore. He's a rather old fellow. But he met Xi Jinping at the airport. And when later you see where he met MBS, and they greeted each other with a handshake. And I haven't checked if any, you know, people are commenting about that. But I would suggest what you're seeing is the world, economic powers of the world are pushing away the U.S. And this idea of the multipolar world is indeed happening. We are just going to be one of the players. That's going to mean my kids' life will be very different in a lot of ways. How, I'm not sure, but I think it's going to be very different in a lot of ways because, you know, because I remember going when I went to Europe in the 70s, the term was still, it was mentioned long before that, but it was still very much an item then, the idea of the ugly American. Because so many Americans have that I'm special attitude. And if you have that I'm special attitude, well, one, you're not reflecting Christ well, but two, you're making enemies. You know, it's said every time we kill a terrorist, we generate 10 more. And I think that's true. Our ugly American attitude generated enemies. It did not put people in submission to us. It generated enemies. And we're seeing that come to fruition now, in the sense that, you know, it's interesting how what you're hearing from, obviously, Russia, I don't hear it as pronounced from Chinese leadership, but I think China does probably say this. And India has been a little more polite, it seems. I'm not sure if that's true. But considering what happened in Saudi Arabia, it's generally known the U.S. can't be trusted. And the obvious example is in Ukraine. There was the Minsk Accords years ago, and I heard Angela Merkel from Germany said the whole purpose of this was just to buy time, so we could then invade or to support Ukrainian government. Because, you know, and the irony, you know, there really is the irony. What is the Ukrainian government? Literally Nazis, you know. So it's kind of like, and Germany supporting them. Anyway, I find this fascinating. But see, the thing that concerns me is discernment. And I want to figure out how to teach my kids about this. I found a great example also yesterday for my wife's birthday. Watched an RT reporter who said, okay, here's an article showing that Ukraine is saying, look, the Russians bombed this building or whatever and horrible things and whatnot. And I think they may even said it was in Kiev. It may have been somewhere else in Ukraine and whatnot. And he said, I'm standing in front of the building. And, you know, so he was literally standing in front of the building because the building was in Donetsk, not in the other parts of Ukraine. And clearly, it was the Ukrainians that did the bombing. You know, and this RT reporter is the same guy when Eva Bartlett went and you know, there was this story, Ukrainians said the mass graves and whatnot. Well, she went to the mass grave, found just a normal graveyard, no mass graves or whatnot, a lot of graves because it was a big graveyard, but so she exposed the story as fraud. And it's the same reporter who also showed up. So they know each other. He's Russian. So he speaks good English. And she's, she speaks good English, but lives in Russia now. But anyway, but doesn't speak Russian the same way. Anyway, but I found that fascinating because you've seen this over and over. I've seen this in Syria and in other places where an image would be used either in, you know, if it gets to the point it's on broadcast media, that really hurts the credibility of broadcast media because, they're supposed to have the resources to check to see if what they say is true and when it's not. But obviously in social media, people do that constantly, and especially those who are agenda-driven because it's frequently you use a picture from one place and show it another. That's done all the time. Because who's going to check it? The objective is you show a picture, give the emotions, and put whatever caption you want. It doesn't have to, you know. And what it reminds me of, because I just checked on it 4 years ago, I did an experiment for myself. You know, I don't do the Twitter and the Facebook stuff, but there was a group that came out and they wanted to do a Christian version of social media. So I said, okay, Let's see what this is. And I signed up, which is a rarity for me. Had some interactions, and I figured this is a waste of time. It really is a waste of time. And I stopped. It's a waste of time, and you can feel the emotions. And it's kind of like, no, I don't want to go there. The two things that happened. One is through that, I developed my friendship with my Mormon friend. So I'm grateful I did that experiment because I did get a benefit from that because I value that friendship. But the other thing is I engaged a few people on because I wanted to see if you could do rational and get rational dialogues with people. And no, you can't because, well, it's hard. Because there was an example of someone had a titled an article, Muslim leader threatens, I swear all the Muslims will leave the U.S. if Trump bans Sharia law. Do you support this? Obviously 2018. And it's kind of like, if I recall correctly, the person who posted this was, yes, we want the Muslims to leave the U.S. kind of attitude. The picture they used, the implication was it was in the U.S. And I looked, it was in Sri Lanka. And it was issues between Muslim and Buddhists. So the picture was, or the caption for the picture was an absolute lie. And I didn't read the details, but I just looked real quick. One of the things I tried to engage, I engaged one atheist gentleman because, I was trying to point out, I don't hate the Muslim. And he wanted to hate the Muslim because they're Muslim. No, I'm sorry. I don't hate the Muslim. I contend that they're following a false doctrine. And to contend with that, I would say it's an act of love. But there's no call for me to hate them. And it was interesting, the reaction to that. How I was bad that I didn't hate them. That I didn't accuse them of vile things. I experimented with that. It just wasn't worth it. Because there are occasions, and I think what happens is it usually has to be face-to-face. Or you can engage. You can do it on the phone. You can do it written. I mean, what is a lot of the New Testament? Letters. And so it can be done written. But if the object, and because one of the things, it was clear to see. I pointed out, many others did too, years ago. The SMS, short message system, is text messaging that we use on phones. It has two problems. One, it's a racket because you pay a whole lot more money for that than you pay for an email, and you're limited in the amount of traffic, and the profit margins are just fantastic for the phone companies. They make money hand over fist on text messaging. But that, and then what you might say the companion Twitter, where initially it was the same size, like 140, 160 characters, whatever, and they eventually doubled it. Now they do, I don't know what they do. But the point is you keep a very short thought. And so I have to say something quick and simple. And so the way to get things across is, I'm going to insult you. And that's not dialogue. That's not a rational dialogue. And it concerns me because obviously the generation, I first noticed the problem. And I wondered, I saw it. I didn't understand it, but I saw there's something going on here. When I was a kid, there was a popular TV program called Laugh-In. And they had a segment of the program, most notably, where they had a whole bunch of people dancing and things of that nature. And so they would do a whole bunch of quick camera shots, zoom in, zoom out, whatnot, back and forth, and then fix on a pair of people, whatnot, and they do a little joke, and they go back to this flashing around, and when I saw that the zooming in and the little short stuff, it's kind of like, you know, you can't grasp what's going on. You know, I have over here on the wall this photo, not a photo, drawing. I have the original drawing by John Painter that is absolutely beautiful. And the thing that I find fascinating about that is you can look at that and spend time examining the detail, because this guy was not an average artist. This guy was really, really good. And I cherish the fact that I have an original and some other pictures of some of his drawings. But you look at the detail, and it takes time to have that sink in and to cherish the little subtleties here and there. You can't do that with a quick flash and gone. And I really think the ability to take in the joy of, for example, that kind of art is waning. And the same thing is true with a dialogue. We can't take time to engage each other in dialogue, to understand each other. I need to make some sort of quick comment, a gotcha, somehow belittle you, somehow put you under my feet. Oh, does it, the Bible? Yes, it does. You know, it's because we're called to esteem others greater than ourselves, not look down on people. I mean, literally. But anyway, I look at those things and I wonder, how do I teach my kids? How do I teach my kids? And then when you have the reminder yesterday and the bad attitude I had today about the isolation I have with my wife and my kids, how do I teach my kids? Don't get suckered in to the short quips. Engage with your mind. How do I teach my kids that? I don't know. My lady, my wife, I don't know what you thought today or yesterday. Is your attitude good riddance? You don't think of me anymore. We spent 22 years together before you abandoned me. And I thought, apparently I was mistaken, but I thought you loved me. As I described yesterday, love never ends. You know, this hurts. This really, really hurts. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore, or as I said yesterday, I think you're gorgeous. I still do. I'm still 100% unwaveringly committed to you and you alone. I will not back down on that. I love you and I want you back.